Thank you so very much. I already begin to like this congregation. First of all, a lot of people are on time when they come to the services, which I will like very much. And second, the choir, they sang beautifully. And thank you. Praise God. Did you know that... Did you know that God dwells among our praises? Whenever we sing praises from our hearts, you have to believe that God listens to your songs and praises. And that's what God is with us this morning. Some of you may wonder how long his sermon gonna be. I assure you, this is half of the sermon that you will hear from every Sunday from me. It's going to be very short, I hope. My sermon title is Who Am I? And that's exactly what I'm going to talk about this morning. Who am I and what do I say about myself? I chose this sermon title is because a lot of us, if not all, are just curious to find out who this minister is standing before you, and what kind of person he is. Is he going to be likable? Is he going to be my friend? Or is he going to be my foe? I'm sure a lot of you wonder that in your mind. But let's not rush into the quick conclusion, because you have plenty of days and months and even years ahead of you to find that out. Instead of keeping you in suspense, though, I decided to introduce myself so that you may have a good start to get to know your new minister. I am 56 years old, born and raised in South Korea, 3 years after the Korean War ended. Are there any Korean War veterans here in this place? Oh, yes, he understands. Thank you. And I came to the United States with my wife, Sun-woo. And she's there 28 years ago. In fact, in 10 days, Sun-woo and I will celebrate our 28th wedding anniversary, July the 17th. Thank you. As a family, we are also blessed to have a wonderful gift that comes from God. Sarah, our loving daughter, she's also with us this morning. Now, some of you may wonder, rightfully so, if I could speak English. That is good, proper, and idiomatic English. Yes, I do believe I can speak English. I let you know I've been serving God's flock in the past 23 years, one congregation in Michigan for 7 years, and the other one in Monmouth County, New Jersey, for the next 16 years, all in English-speaking congregations. So I honed my skill of speaking in English for some time. I also let you know, from time to time, you will hear some words and sentences in a different grammatical structure. It's because I was educated in the King's English Grammar throughout my middle school and high school years, altogether 6 years, in Korea, and I am still abiding by it in my writings and speeches. So some of us, you know, sometimes wonder why he does say that in particular order or something. And here's one interesting experience I have in the past between the English grammar, King's English grammar, and American English grammar. How many of you remember McDonald's? They used to post, you know, how many people were served. Remember? I think 1985, when I came here, I think I just saw that they're saying over 1 billion served. That was in 1985. And I came all the way, I think the last time I saw was 55 billion served. Then I think they quit that advertising. No sense of keep going up. And anyway, one of the McDonald's billboards in advertising, I don't know, still, I don't think they do anymore, on the highway, you know, interstate highways was this. Of course, background picture was a big hamburger picture, Big Mac. And there's one sentence going across the billboard saying, "Did someone say MMM?" How many of you remember that? None of you, perhaps. But anyway, when I first saw that advertising, the sentence, I thought, that's not proper English grammar. Because of my King's English grammar. Now, my understanding of English grammar was, if you want to say something like any or, you know, some, particularly in negative sentences as well as questions, you always use any, not some. For example, did anyone say MMM? Because it's a question. Never say, did someone say? Again, that's my English grammar. I hope you will... Anyway, you'll hear me from time to time speak with an accent. I cannot help. You know, I lived in Korea for 28 years, learning English and, you know, spoke in Korean accent, and came to Michigan, lived there for 9 years, speaking in Midwestern Michigan accent, if there's any. And I came to New Jersey for the next 19 years, and then I, you know, if there's any such a thing, New Jerseyan accent for 19 years. So you have all together in me. I hope you will get used to my accent very soon. And whenever you hear me saying some words in a funny way, please accept them with love. And, you know, I'm open to any suggestions. You know, Pastor Choi, you didn't pronounce this word correctly this morning, and I'll appreciate your help. Now, I want you to know your Pastor Choi. Know me this way. You can forget all the things that I'm going to say this morning in my sermon, but please remember this. Your Pastor Choi is not the Messiah. He's not a monster either, but he is a messenger. I'm going to take you to today's text that we read in John 1st. Here's the context. John was a very popular guy in the first century. A lot of people flocked around him, and they came to him and they were baptized by John. That's how he got the nickname John the Baptist. He baptized hundreds and thousands of people. Now, when the new guy appeared in the block, very happy and just very popular, the rest of the existing authorities sometimes got very curious, and other times they get jealous. Who this guy? Why did people go to them when on the day of, you know, the Sabbath, they don't come to church, synagogue? So they sent their messengers to John to inquire about his identity, who you are. And they asked him, "Are you the Messiah?" And John says, "I'm not." "Are you Elijah?" And John says, "I'm not." "Are you the prophet promised?" Then John says, "Of course I'm not." And they say, "Who do you say about yourself? What do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I am the voice crying in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord, so that Jesus, the Son of God, would be manifested to God's people." That's his answer. Like John the Baptist, yours truly is not the Messiah or the prophet. I'm not a hero either. I'm not a Superman. I cannot solve all the problems of my own family, let alone those of the churches. Neither can I turn around the troubled congregation overnight either. Rather, I declare to you, an ordinary person like you are. I eat, I drink, I sleep, I go to the bathroom. And in my previous congregation, some kids thought that Pastor Choi is a man of God and holy man. He never goes to the bathroom. So I had to break that myth, telling and reminding them Pastor Choi goes to the bathroom more than once a day. I get tired and I get grumpy. Check with my wife. She'll tell you. I get tempted. I am far from being perfect. So please do not put me on a pedestal. I am not the Messiah. I'm not a monster either. You don't have to be afraid of me. I didn't come here to bite or hurt any one of you. Rather, I came here to help you, to love you, and to build you up. Please do not judge me either by one sermon or a few words that I have said. Let me share you this with a story. I think I was into maybe 2 or 3 months in my one of the congregations I served. I was preaching back then, standing right in front of the congregation without the manuscript. And of course, the choir seated at the back, so I couldn't see what's happening in the choir. So in the middle of the sermon, one of the choir members stood up and stormed out. Obviously, you know, whatever I have said upset her. So at the end, I didn't know at the time, at the end of the service, someone just told me that that's exactly what happened. So I reached out to her and called her in the afternoon. And did I say something that offended you this morning? And she said, you sure did. And she lashed out on me. The context I was preaching was about Jesus' healing the people in the temple. And the point I was making, God still grants healing to us today. God heals the people, even in the 21st century. But, and then she says, why then did God not heal my fiancé, for whom the entire congregation prayed earnestly for 6 months? He, in other words, her fiancé succumbed to cancer. Of course, you know, God, not everyone gets healed. But the point I was making, we have to remember God still grants us healing. But she was so upset that it didn't happen to her fiancé. So that incident, sadly enough, she never came back to church afterward. It still breaks my heart. But in the following Sunday, I had to remind the congregation not to judge me by just one single sermon that I preach. Rather, if you have to judge your pastor, please do it by my character and my life examples, not by one single sermon. And just to mind you again, I'm not a monster to be afraid of or shun, that matter. Who am I then? What do I say about myself? I am a messenger of God and His word, like John the Baptist. I bring God's message to you, God's people. And my job here is to feed and tend God's flock, which is you. And God has sent me here with a purpose. The purpose is to preach the gospel of Jesus the Messiah, to proclaim the gospel of peace and reconciliation, and to bring glad tidings of good things to you. I am here Sunday morning, morning after Sunday morning, that as Pastor Rick Warren said, to preach the Word of God and equip you with Word of God on Sunday morning so that you may be ready for Monday morning. You come here to hear the Word of God from your pastor. God also brought me here to Manahawkin to accomplish His works through my ministry. I come before you, bringing the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of Christ. And I want to know you. I want to love you as Christ has loved me, unconditionally and sacrificially. I'd like to imitate Jesus, who laid down His life for His sheep, as John 10:11 says. Jesus is our great shepherd. He is our good shepherd, and I am working for Him. You can call me one of Jesus's many under-shepherds. As a shepherd, I am not a hired hand who abandons the sheep or runs away from the sheep when they are under attack. I will not run away from you in times of crisis. I'll be there for you, and we'll walk together. As your pastor, this is my first year goal, to know all of you by your names. As the Bible says, the shepherd knows his sheep by their names. So someone gave me the test. There will be a test after the service where he gave me his name. I already forgot. but I'll do my best in the next year, you know, knowing you by first name, base. As the sheep knows the voice of their shepherd, I pray that you too would know my voice as your shepherd. Here's my pledge to every member and family of Manahawkin, that is to keep you in my prayer. I will remember, as Paul said in Philippians, each of you by name with thanksgiving and petition in my prayers. May I also ask you to do the same for me and my family, so that I may never stop talking about Jesus, our Savior and Lord, and so that my service and ministry of word and prayer here would be acceptable and pleasing to God. Your prayers are very, very crucial. They will shape me into the kind of pastor both God and you want me to be, and will make a huge difference in my service at Manahawkin. Always remember, your prayers shape your pastor. I look forward to the days ahead of us, and I hope you do too. May God bless us all. Let us bow our heads and pray. I give thanks to you, Lord, from the bottom of my heart for bringing me to this wonderful congregation of yours. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being with this congregation over 200 years. And we are looking forward to days ahead of us. There will be challenges. There will be joys. There will be concerns. And there will be so many other things. The good thing is that you are with us and we will walk together with each other. That's what we are looking for. Your name be glorified whenever and whatever we do anything in your name. So Lord, bless us. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen.